Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and I'm actually flying solo tonight. Unfortunately, my Kirsten Milliken, my co-host, is unavailable for scheduling for this particular show, but so she will be missed. And I know she's disappointed because we got a great topic tonight, and that's ADHD and fatigue. Is there a link? A discussion of new research, and with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Joel Young. Tonight, just a date stamp, the show is October the 31st in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to get right into things here in a second, but a few announcements. We have been reminding everybody out there, you're familiar with Attention Talk Radio. Well, we have just recently released Attention Talk News, which is our version of kind of an online newspaper. It brings together stuff about the show, links to audio content, links to video content, and other articles. We're actually asking guests to come in, contributors, many of those being experts that we have had on the show, so that's real exciting. You can sign up for your subscription to Attention Talk News. The best way is really to go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Attention Talk Radio. And at the top part, there's a little tab that says Constant Contact. You click on that, you just give us your email address, and we'll send you the newsletter twice a month. Also, we're just recently launching Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, and we're real excited about that. That is actually a talk show that's online. The technology to pull it together has been kind of amazing, but we're having a lot of fun with that. It's really the same format as we're doing on the radio, just a little shorter, but with experts, where you'll actually see our two faces side by side as I interview the experts. So for information on that, just go to attentiontalkvideo.com. As a reminder, the CHAD conference is right around the corner. I know that I'm leaving pretty much really a week from today. The conference is in San Francisco. If you have not signed up, please go to chadd.org, and you can sign up. It's going to be a good time. This is their 25th year, so there's going to be a lot of special stuff. And if you go, please look for Kirsten and myself. We'll be there at the keynote addresses, many of the breakout sessions, and we got a little something else up our sleeve. So if you come to us, who knows, you might get a little 15 seconds of fame. Let's see. I think that's about it. Again, tonight our topic is ADHD and fatigue. Is there a link? And a discussion, a new research. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Joel Young. He's the founder and medical director of the Rochester Center of Behavioral Medicine. He graduated with high distinction and a history major from University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and then he also graduated from Wayne State University School of Medicine, where he pursued his residency. He moved to Rochester in 93 and got things started. He's a diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatric and Neurology. He serves on the Professional Advisory Board of the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, which, as an aside, we're interviewing Evelyn Green, who's the president of that organization. We had that interview a couple weeks ago, actually during ADHD Awareness Week. If you missed that, you want to go back and check that out. Dr. Young, his primary clinical interests involve treatment of mood and anxiety disorder, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and ADHD through the life cycle. He's given hundreds of lectures locally and throughout the country regarding these areas, and has written different excerpts in different places. And with that, Dr. Young, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
This is an exciting topic for me because, quite frankly, it's a great opportunity for me to learn. I have worked with some people who had fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. I was coaching them on their ADHD, but through that process, I'm not so sure I really got a real grasp around some of this stuff, so I'm anxious to learn. I guess to begin with, can you just kind of talk about what chronic fatigue is and what fibromyalgia is, and then we'll kind of get back into your experience working together and put it in the context of ADHD.
Well, I'd be happy to. It is actually, for many people, maybe an unusual combination of features. ADHD is not typically associated with chronic fatigue, and we don't necessarily think of ADHD and chronic pain disorders. And certainly if you look at the diagnosis of ADHD, there's really no discussion of fatigue and or chronic pain. But I've been doing this for a while. I'm a psychiatrist, and I've been interested in this phenomenon of ADHD through the life cycle for many years. And what became apparent to me rather early on into this journey was that many of my patients who I was evaluating for ADHD actually also had a diagnosis of chronic fatigue. Some of them had a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. I didn't really think much about it until I started to hear it time and time again. Now, this is not to say that everybody with adult ADHD has symptoms of chronic fatigue or symptoms of chronic pain, but a number of them did, and I became interested in this association between the two. So you asked me just a little bit what chronic fatigue syndrome is, or what fibro is.
Yep.
And chronic fatigue is a disorder that typically affects adults, usually about 35 or over, women more than men. And it actually is a rather simple definition. It's a disorder where there's chronic fatigue without a really good medical explanation. It has to be rather persistent and cause impairment in one's daily life. And it's not the result of ongoing exertion. The fatigue is not the result of ongoing, and it's not relieved by rest. And again, to have this condition, I guess we all get tired, but chronic fatigue syndrome is a condition where it's not relieved necessarily by rest, and there's not really a clear understanding what it is
or what causes it.
Or what causes it. Similarly, fibromyalgia is a disorder that's also not very well understood. Interestingly enough, there are about 3 or 4 medications currently in the marketplace to treat fibromyalgia. And people know a little bit more about fibromyalgia basically because there have been advertisements about it. But fibromyalgia is a chronic pain disorder. Again, it's the same demographic. It tends to be in adults, and it tends to be women more than men, but not exclusively women. And it's associated with chronic aches or pains and so-called trigger points, where patients will have certain tender spots on their body, usually in the upper, in the neck, back of the neck, that's associated with muscle tension and pain. And those two conditions, chronic fatigue and fibro, they often go hand in hand. Often people will have both chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, but some people will have exclusively chronic fatigue and some people will have fibromyalgia. And it was this association between ADHD that spurred my interest.
Well, I can certainly see if people are coming in and treating them and you keep getting that diagnosis, it's got to make you go, I wonder what this is all about and look into it a little bit more. I do want to ask on the fibromyalgia, when you talk about pain and trigger points, it's not joint pain, it's more muscle pain?
It can be. It's nebulous. And
okay.
I think that's what makes this frustrating for a lot of doctors is the pain is officially considered a trigger point, usually in the mid-muscle.
Okay.
Commonly, patients will have some joint pain. But I think what makes it somewhat frustrating to many physicians is that it's not a consistent physical examination. It might differ from one day to the other, where the tenderness is from one exam to the other. It might migrate throughout the body. But typically, we consider this muscular trigger points, again, primarily in the head and neck region.
And there's not a test that you can take from this. It's mostly the diagnosing is more by just you ask or a doctor asking questions and looking for just these general characteristics. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think you got that right. Both chronic fatigue and I would I'm going to you're going to be gracious enough, I'm sure, to ask me about my clinical trial, which I'd like
to
talk about.
Absolutely.
The trial itself was in chronic fatigue, although it might have implications for fibromyalgia. But fundamentally, this trial is that is just recently being published in October 2012. It was in chronic fatigue subjects. So again, there might be some implications to fibromyalgia, but fundamentally, it speaks to the chronic fatigue population.
Uh-huh.
But to answer your question directly, the diagnosis of both these disorders is what we call clinical diagnosis. And heretofore, we really haven't had a good biological assay. For instance, you know, if you have a strep infection, you can often
yep.
find strep in the blood. If you have HIV, there's a virus that's detectable. But for chronic fatigue and fibro, there hasn't been that biological marker.
Yep, yep. And you know, it's we're getting more and more things down, but really the diagnosis of ADHD is, you know, you're going out asking questions, you're looking at your past experiences in life, because we still don't have a test for that either. So it's just interesting how this they're very similar in that aspect. I want to get in your clinical trial and kind of talk about that a little bit, but just with where we are at time, I'll tell you what, let's go to a break real quick. When we come back, I'd like you to describe that a little bit. For our listeners out there, if you want to learn a little bit more about Dr. Young, just go to rcbm.net. I think that stands for Rochester Clinical Behavioral Medicine, again, .net, and you can get a whole host of information. So with that, everybody, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving individuals with or impacted by ADHD. At CHAD, we provide information and help families and professionals to improve the lives of those with ADHD. On November 8th through 10th, CHAD will have its annual conference in San Francisco, California. If you are impacted by ADHD, this is a must-attend event. For details, go to chad.org. Interested in exhibitor and program opportunities? Call Barbara Rose at 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Train your brain with Brain Train. ADHD impacts grades, relationships, and the quality of life for your kids. Parents now have a new way to improve the lives of their ADHD child without using meds. Brain Train is designed to exercise your child's mind, to train it to work differently and efficiently. Learn how Brain Train can make a change by training your child's brain. Visit Brain Train at www.brain-train-adhd.com for more information today.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Dr. Young. Before the break, what just fascinating, we were talking about what chronic fatigue is and what fibromyalgia is and the nebulousness of it a little bit. And I'm fascinated with Dr. Young and his just clinical practice of treating those with ADHD, noticing that many of his patients had these diagnoses. And what I'm hearing is he got real, real curious about this. And Dr. Young, I know you you went in and you did a clinical trial on this, just at least on the chronic fatigue side, to see if there was a little bit of a link. And I'm going to hold my questions because I'm anxious to see if the speculation is maybe these are like symptoms of ADHD, if it's something different, or how the treatments overlap. But before we get to that, can you tell us a little bit about the trial to begin with, and we'll go from there?
Yeah, well, it is in many ways what we call translational clinical research. We tried to translate what we saw in the clinic to a research setting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it actually had some of those elements that we learned about in science class of serendipity, like making an observation and wondering if it's associated with something else. And
mm-hmm.
and basically, I really have seen a lot of adult ADHD patients over the years. And certain patterns develop when you're have the opportunity to spend so many hours a day talking to people who struggle with ADHD, you learn that there are various flavors, and a number of them reported, even before they had the diagnosis of ADHD, that they really had crushing fatigue. Many of them reported they had a hard time getting out of bed in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They were inconsistently motivated. This really caused significant impairment in their life,
mm-hmm.
because in many ways, they wanted to do well. They just couldn't do well. They
mm-hmm.
couldn't accomplish. And I realized that many times their lack of productivity drove their anxiety, drove their depression, and they presented at my office not because they said I have ADHD, but rather because they said I'm depressed, I'm anxious, and I'm not responding to antidepressant medications.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an uncommon, it's an unusually common presentation in our practice.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't get better on antidepressants, and I've tried many things to help me with my fatigue, and I just can't get going.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made this observation. We have a rather large clinic, and the professionals, the doctors and the psychologists and therapists and counselors, we meet frequently over the years and scratch our collective heads. And finally, I talked about it for years, and finally I wrote a clinical protocol, clinical trial, which was funded.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to try one of the common ADHD medications to see if this could help patients with chronic fatigue syndrome. And in fact, that's what we did.
So you went out and got some subjects, split them into placebo group and a regular group, and gave one group ADHD meds, and then studied them to determine if that helped or had any impact on the chronic fatigue side. Is that accurate?
Exactly. So what we did is we recruited patients who met criteria for chronic fatigue, and in our past segment I told you what the diagnostic criteria were.
Yep.
And we used a medication called lisdexamfetamine. It's marketed as Vyvanse, but
mm-hmm.
It is the generic name is lisdexamfetamine.
Mm-hmm.
And we divided this group into two groups randomly. Again, they all met criteria for chronic fatigue syndrome. Half were given lisdexamfetamine,
uh-huh.
Half were given placebo. And this
uh-huh.
was done blindly.
Yep.
It was a placebo
yep.
trial. Only one person knew, the person
mm-hmm.
who kept the blind as to
yep.
who would be on the active agent, who
yep.
would be on placebo.
Yep.
And we followed these folks for 8 weeks. Now, what I want to emphasize is that these were folks who did not necessarily meet criteria for ADHD, although we did assess whether they had ADHD. But we really entered them into the trial to see if they had the criteria was whether they had chronic fatigue syndrome.
Uh-huh.
And what we found is that the groups actually look quite different at the end. Whenever you do a clinical trial, you look at what your primary outcome measure, and the primary outcome measure was cognitive impairment. And both all people with chronic fatigue who entered our trial had complaints of brain fog or problems with memory. And this is under the general rubric of cognitive impairment.
Mm-hmm.
And we used an assessment to see if there would be a change in their cognitive impairment, and in
uh-huh.
fact, we did. We saw that folks on lisdexamfetamine did significantly better at the end of the trial. They had their scores on a so-called
mm-hmm.
brief A, which is the outcome measure, were significantly better on the active agent compared to placebo.
Uh-huh.
We also found we had other measurements as well. We found that there was significantly less fatigue in the patients who were treated with the active ADHD medicine compared
uh-huh.
to the one that did not.
Uh-huh.
And we had two pain measurement scales. One scale showed improvements on the lisdexamfetamine treated group compared to placebo. The other one wasn't quite as suggestive.
Okay.
But with regard, so we had positive findings on cognitive impairment, on fatigue, and on some pain scales.
Okay.
I want to emphasize, of course, that this is a preliminary finding. This is not an FDA indication for this medication. It's
yep.
just a clinical
yep.
trial.
Yep.
In a relatively small one at that.
And so what I'm – if just to – reframe this back to make sure I'm understanding is the focus was really on would an ADHD-like stimulant really kind of help those with chronic fatigue, and your findings based off this group was it did help cognitive impairment, it did lead to less fatigue, and there was some pain levels that were reduced, which would seem to indicate that these types of meds are also helping these conditions, but ADD was really not necessarily a part of this per se. It's just these meds seem to help those with chronic fatigue. Thus, if they're helping somebody with ADHD, they also might help with these issues.
Yeah, so you really summed it up very nicely. That's exactly right. Now, we recruited these folks into the study. They had to meet criteria for chronic fatigue syndrome. And, in fact, we tried to recruit these folks from the community around us. My clinic is in the Detroit metropolitan area. We did not try and recruit from patients who had ADHD. But we did find that of these patients recruited for chronic fatigue syndrome, about actually 70% of them met criteria for ADHD inattentive type.
Wow.
So it does beg the issue as to whether these two conditions that we're talking about, primarily chronic fatigue syndrome and to some extent fibromyalgia, the question remains, are they entities separate and apart from ADHD, or are they symptoms that result from chronic ADHD? And that really remains an open question.
So when you said, the idea here is, okay, just so happens we have two different things that both respond to the same medication, or is the other one, if you've got ADHD, over a period of time, maybe the heightened level of anxiety or stress or things as a result of it turns out symptomatically possibly in these types of conditions later on?
Exactly. So there's all different ways of speculating this. So heretofore, before this trial, there really has not been a clear association, at least in any research trial, between chronic fatigue and ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
There have been, if you search the internet, there are people that have talked about this, so this is by no means my idea.
Yep.
This has been something that has been discussed. What we try to do is apply, the time-honored tradition of placebo.
Yep.
Trial, double-blind placebo-based trial, but people have talked about this for a while, particularly in the ADHD community. But what we're saying is, and then prior to this association, the general consensus belief in the community, the medical community, was that chronic fatigue syndrome was the result of some type of virus. And there has been, over the years, a lot of work suggesting that people who have chronic fatigue have been infected by a virus. Right now, that does not seem to be true. In fact, there was a big study recently done 2 years ago that was actually retracted because of scientific impropriety.
Mm-hmm.
It actually got a lot of press. It was in the New York Times, et cetera. But then about 2 years later, it was withdrawn. And, in fact, right now the medical community does not believe chronic fatigue is due to a virus.
Okay.
So so there has to be some other explanation. And we're suggesting that two things. A, that we actually might have a treatment for it,
mm-hmm.
that we clearly need further investigation. And then the open question is to whether it is an independent phenomenon or the end result of ADHD.
Yep.
Let's not forget that the criteria for ADHD were written for kids
mm-hmm.
and then retrofitted to fit adults.
Certainly.
And the fatigue we see less in kids. But as a clinician, I can tell you fatigue seems to be much more correlated with the adult ADHD experience.
Wow. Well, Dr. Young, I need to run to a commercial break real quick. I want to come back. I want to kind of talk about some of the implications of this. So everybody out there, a reminder to learn more about Dr. Young and what he's doing. Go to rcbm.net, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a time timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Young about chronic fatigue, stimulants, and fibromyalgia and ADHD. And, you know, Dr. Young, this I think this is just a fascinating space, and it's kind of exciting if there's something there. We don't really know a lot. There's still a lot of research that needs to be done. But, you know, I sit here and I was thinking about this during the break. One of the fortunate things about my position on attention, I get to interview a whole lot of experts, and I don't have to be one. I can just kind of throw things around a little bit. And the idea of, you know, which came first, was chronic fatigue on its own and kind of developed, or is it a result of ADHD? Or, you know, I've had a lot of experts come on and talk about neuroplasticity, and as your brain pays attention to things differently, it physically changes over a period of time. And I even wonder in my daydream, you know, is this one of those things where if you pay attention to the tension and the stress that's associated with ADHD, you know, you don't have the filters on some of that stuff, and it heightens. And if you pay attention to that long enough, the brain changes, and these are reactions to it. I mean, all that stuff is really kind of on the table, at least my sense of it is. But what your trial is showing is there seems to be a relationship in terms of at least these people responded to stimulants, which is really kind of an interesting association. You want to comment on my comments? I mean, is it accurate? And I know that neuroplasticity thing is kind of out there, but I just start to daydream about that and think like, well, it's, you know, from what I'm hearing, if you did, there could be something to that.
So I think that there is something there. Think about it this way, in our most kind of elementary understanding of ADHD, if you think of an 8-year-old child with ADHD, and I've interviewed a lot and I've talked to their parents, and very commonly what you'll hear is the child is very easily distracted. Child is brought up well. He knows to respect the teacher. He knows to look at the chalkboard, the whiteboard now, and yet he can't because there's something else going on next to him, or the janitor is outside the window doing something. And he knows he should pay attention, but he's easily distracted. And it's this distractibility that can really impair their functionality.
Mm-hmm.
We're simply saying here that, or speculating, that we all might have some level of pain, painful symptoms, joint pain, tennis elbow, muscular tension. And in the non-ADD brain, or the untreated brain, the brain is less effective at filtering that out.
Mm-hmm.
So one student can focus on the chalkboard because he knows he should. The other one is equally challenged by other stimulus. He's not filtering well.
Mm-hmm.
I just simply am applying the same principle to, say, fibromyalgia and chronic pain, that the pain is there. We all might have some aches and pains, but people with ADHD can't filter it out. And consequently, what other people can easily filter out, they can't. And for this reason, they tend to have more aches and pains, more bodily concerns. One theory.
Yeah, if I may, I've coached different people before, and I always like to look at what their learning modalities are, because to me it's just interesting. However you process information in your head has got to give us some clues to the external world. And there was this one individual I was working with specifically who was trying to write, and they were very sensitive to sound. And every time they were trying to write, if there was any type of sound, it distracted them. It's like they couldn't not shift their focus to a door slamming or something like that. Once we realized this, we started using earplugs and white noise in the background to kind of drown those things out. But my point really was, it's almost like they were so sensitive to sound they couldn't not notice it. And in kind of what you're saying is if those with ADHD and they have some pain and they can't not notice it, they tend to dwell on it a little bit more, which is a heightened sense of attention awareness. And in that space a little bit, it kind of makes some sense to me with my experiences that sometimes they're just kind of drawn to that and they focus on it just because it's there. It's just,
yeah,
it makes some sense. So,
and the only so I think your model is perfect. The only thing I would say is you talk about external sounds or distractions like
this is internal,
and this is internal.
Yep.
And it appears that in both those circumstances, there might be a role for medications. That some of the environmental adaptations that you suggest, white noise, earplugs, work very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears, at least from our clinical observations and some data here, that that one of the medications, one of the commonly used medications, seems to help filter that as well. Again, a preliminary finding, a finding that should be done, hopefully will be done maybe with more sites, but it does suggest that a medication might play that same role, maybe even a more profound role than some of the external environmental modifications.
Certainly.
And then the second thing I want to say, just because our data really looked more at fatigue, was the second model of ADHD is that as individuals with ADHD inattentive type become older, I'm suggesting that this inattention might morph into fatigue. That when you're, and that it's this fatigue that is very problematic to people, and it translates into poor motivation and lack of productivity, trouble getting going, trouble really keeping your schedules. And then once that happens, we have some evidence from an earlier study that people with chronic fatigue have higher rates of unemployment, and they have higher rates of tension in their life with loved ones and family members, et cetera.
Yep.
So it has a spillover effect as well.
What's interesting to me is I get a rush of a whole bunch of stuff because, you know, ADHD, the symptoms of it are there, of attention and things. And, like, we had some shows with Dr. Roberto Olivardi on sleep talking about, you know, when you're sleep deprived, you have a harder time paying attention. It kind of shows up. I also can't help but think we have tried to talk to a couple of people, and I'm trying to understand post-traumatic stress syndrome because I understand there's some discussion that might ADHD, there might be kind of something there, and I don't know for sure. I think I've heard that seems to respond with ADHD meds, although I'm not really qualified to speak about that. But this whole space that we're talking about, in one sense, it's really broad, but in another sense, what I'm hearing is it seems to me that there's really a lot we can learn, and while they might be separate, if they are responding to the same medications, particularly for those with ADHD, that's kind of good news.
Oh, it is good news. I think we definitely need to look at this more clearly. We really have to understand the natural history of ADHD. And what's concerning to me is I don't think we're doing it quite fast enough. You raised a number of interesting issues, but let's just talk about sleep for instance. What I've noticed with my patients with chronic fatigue is even after a good night's sleep, even after a vacation, their sleep is, and they do get adequate amounts of sleep, they still have fatigue.
Yep.
This is not a sleep-responsive type
yep.
of fatigue.
Yep.
Everything gets worse with poor sleep, but this is not something where you spend the next 16 hours in bed, you're going to feel better. Just the opposite. Often they can sleep for many hours and they can't get going.
Yep.
So it's not a sleep issue, at least in my estimation. Secondly, with regard to PTSD, I think that this is a little bit off topic, but I think that this really is relevant to a lot of the concerns we have about maybe returning veterans and some of the mental health difficulties they've had. But as a clinician, one thing that as a clinician sensitive to ADHD, it's quite clear that many of them, the question is, are folks with ADHD more likely to develop a post-traumatic stress? Are they, so if you have two people who are exposed to some type of trauma, one walks away from it and the other one is more susceptible, and could that be a function of who has ADHD and who doesn't?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So maybe going into it.
For one of the things that's great or interesting about our show is we have a highly, highly, highly targeted audience. And since people have to seek us out, if there's somebody listening to this show, there's a good chance they have ADHD. And they might have chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, which is what's drawing them here. Given the research and stuff that we've got, any thoughts or suggestions? Should these people reach out to people? How do they learn more? If they're experiencing these things, you know, should they be, you know, contacting? What's we don't really know right now, but just for those out there that are listening to the show that have a real strong interest, any thoughts or share any suggestions or, you know, what they might do in terms of reading the research or even talk with their local physicians?
Yeah. Well, so we're at the earliest stages. As we speak, the research is going to be published in a peer-reviewed journal, called Psychiatry Research. And
okay.
On my website, as soon as we get that link, which should be in the next day, day or week or so, we'll have that. So that will be available. You can certainly share it with your physician. I want to emphasize, because although I'm excited by some of these findings, I want to say this falls far short of this being a FDA-approved treatment or sponsored by the manufacturers of the medication. By no means. It's just one physician researcher's trial into it. So I it's far short of being a widespread
practice. That's probably worth me echoing. We wanted to have you come on because the deal is, if there is a link, the good news out there is there's people that are seeing these things, observing these, and pushing forward, trying to get some research to try to figure out what is involved here. So that's the great news. The bad news is we still don't really know a whole heck of a lot about it, other than the fact that, you know, clearly in your clinical practice you noticed something here that was worth uncovering, and if there is, you know, a correlation or a link or something there, it's certainly something that we need to kind of find out. So on our side, this is by no means set in stone, but I think it was a great topic for the show, because if you are out there with these types of things, it's good to at least hear this stuff and get other perspectives. So it's been very helpful, Dr. Young. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we wrap this up?
Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and I know the people who are listening, they're live or in podcast, will are devotees of ADHD and interested in the new idea. So if there's feedback, I would love to hear if other people have had experiences one way or the other, or have thoughts. This is definitely a theory in development, and I would be delighted to hear other people's input.
And that's awesome. And again, the paper, when that goes out, there'll be a link on it on your website, and that's at rcbm.net. And I also presume at that website they can, if they want to share something, there's a contact button where they can submit stuff in to share that stuff. So with that, Dr. Young, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been great.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again, and everybody. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio, and join us next week for another edition. With that, everybody enjoy. Take care.